John 21, verse 6. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. May God be glorified by the reading of his word. You may be seated. Five years and about a week ago, I took my phone and snapped the picture, and I've got it for you up on the screen. It's not coming up? Well, that's sad. That makes me very sad because I have the image in my pocket. Well, the image is of a boat, and it's about a football's length worth of distance off of the shoreline where people are standing. And where the people are standing is on a beach area. Maybe you would equate it with any other scene of such, but I have to tell you that's a very special place to me. As I said, I took the picture, I'll show it to you next week, apparently, of this scene. And the boat out on the water is about 25 feet long. It's a fishing boat. There are people on that boat fishing. You can't see them. It's so far offshore. But it's similar to this boat. And that particular boat that was out there fishing was a net fishing boat. The picture I took was from standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. I had a perfect view as I was standing where Jesus was standing, or very near to the place where he was standing when he said the words in our scripture today. So if you want to know what it's like to stand on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus stood and see a boat about the distance off the shore, I'm your guy. Because that's where I was. And I want to tell you, it's very important to know this because the scene there where he fed them breakfast, which we learn in this passage, is like no other place I've ever been on earth. Because something happened there. A story that I'm going to unfold for you over the next few sermons that are impactful and powerful. I cannot think about what happened at that point in my life, at that place, without weeping. And I'm going to take you on that journey so that you know why and what it has to do with us and investing for the kingdom of God. But I want to set a backstory. Last week I kind of did the reverse and told the rest of the story at the end of the parable of the barren fig tree. Today I'm starting with the backstory. After Jesus died, he appeared to the disciples a few times, and then he was gone again. And in this passage, in John chapter 21, Jesus wants to reveal himself to them at the Sea of Galilee. And Simon Peter is with Thomas, who's called the twin, or the doubting Thomas, as some people call him, or Didymus, depending on who you want to call him, is with him. So is Nathanael. So are the sons of Zebedee, which are James and John. And two others of his disciples are gathered together. And Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And all the others with him say, "We're going too." So they go out in a boat immediately and they start fishing, and it's in the evening. They fish all night and they catch nothing. You'd think these must be bad fishermen, but no, they're well-seasoned fishermen. And so they go out to fish. And it says the morning had come and Jesus was standing on the shore in approximately the exact place I was standing, give or take the water level. They didn't know it was him. And Jesus says to them, "Do you have any food?" Now, understand, when he says food, he means fish. Fish and food are the same thing for them. And they say, no, we have caught nothing. And that's when he says, we'll cast your net on the right side of the boat. And there you're going to find some. A multitude, it says, of fish. Now, the fish they caught, now, they're not like the fish I catch. The fish I catch are usually about that big. If I'm lucky, they're that big. Very rarely do I catch a fish that's like a foot long when I go fishing. I think it's because I'm not a good fisherman, or the fish just know I don't catch big fish. I'm not sure how that works, but I have a fish story for you. The fish that they caught were approximately this long, that tall, and about that wide, about 4 inches thick. So they were about 3 pounds or so of fish, if not more. And you say, well, what kind of fish were they? Well, they kind of look like bluegill, but they're bigger. The reason I know is because when we were in Israel, we went to a restaurant that had fresh caught fish from the Sea of Galilee that morning. And we had them for lunch. They were cooked and fried whole. They were presented to us on a plate as a delicacy, except for to me. I didn't want it. My wife had one, and I took a picture of her eating it. She hates fish, but she likes this fish out of the Sea of Galilee. They're just different. And she cleaned it all with a fork. I took a picture of her eating that fish. I would show it to you, but it just to me, it's like it's gross. Because it's a dead fish looking at you, and I'm going, I don't like that look. But otherwise, I would show you the size of the fish, and she probably wouldn't want you to see her on the screen anyway. But that's how big it was. That's what she had eaten. That's what they were catching back then, and still today, the same size fish. So when they caught them, and they caught more than a few, you knew that the net would be heavy, right? We hear in this story that the fish that they caught weighed over 400 pounds. That's a lot of fish. But that's what they caught. And when they're fishing, that's what they're looking for. Food. That's what they eat. And what they heard from Jesus when he said, cast the net on the other side of the boat, he wasn't saying, you're stupid. Okay? You just can't see because you only fish on one side of the boat. That is not the kind of fishermen these were. They were not ignorant fishermen. What they were was fishing all night and catching nothing. And Jesus, 300 feet away, said, cast on the right side. There's no way a person standing that far away from a boat could see that fish moving and the guys in the boat not. There's no way. So it wasn't like he saw it with his physical, human, fleshly vision. He knew it because it was a spiritual thing about to happen. All this story is filled with powerful spiritual imagery that will transform any view you have about sharing Jesus with others. But in this story, it's after Jesus' resurrection and before Peter has been reinstated after he had denied him 3 times. This is the setting for where that's going to take place. Peter is going to be reinstated that morning. He doesn't know that. He doesn't even know it's Jesus. The disciples, it says here, don't even recognize him. But there he is standing with a breakfast cooked on the shore. And what he says to them is, you've caught nothing. You fished all night and caught nothing. I don't know about you, but when I don't catch anything, I quit. I blame the fish. I really do. You ever heard a fisherman who hadn't caught much? You know what they say, right? They're not biting. Somebody already fished them all out of there. They don't like my bait. It's never about, well, I just didn't wait long enough. A lot of times we'll say, I fished there for an hour and caught nothing. I'm done. I'm going somewhere else. There are impatient fishermen in this world. And I happen to be one of them. If I don't see anything going after what I'm offering to them, I'm thinking I got the wrong stuff or the fish just aren't ready. Some people say they're not hungry or they got spooked. But never is it, I didn't wait them out. Never is it that story. But these men were commercial fishermen. It says they fished all night and caught nothing. A regular angler going out fishing after 3 or 4 hours, 2 in the morning, not catching anything, he's going to bed. But you understand, these guys, this is their food and it's their income. So they're going to fish till they get one or the other, enough to eat or enough to sell or both. But listen to this process. What they did is they took a large net about 15 feet circle across, you know, in all directions, and threw it out there, let it sink, and would draw it back up. Now, I don't know a lot about net fishing, so I looked at it enough to understand it. And what you have is this large rope around the top of the net, and the net is attached to that rope. There's another rope that attaches that pulls that rope together so it comes up out the bottom or wherever you have it and drags it up like a ball of net secured at the top so fish can't get out. So you have this net ball hanging there when you pull it out by this other rope that pulls it tight. A cinch rope, I think, is what they call it. And then another rope pulls the net in as well. So this 15-foot net, it takes a few guys to get this thing out there, and they throw it out there, let it sink, and pull it in. Over and over and over until they get the catch they need. Until they get what they're after, they do this. Now, here, it's kind of humorous to me, but they said, we fished all night and caught nothing. If they had caught what they wanted, they could have quit sooner. And if they had caught something and quit sooner before sunrise, they would have missed the meeting with Jesus. Sometimes we quit before Jesus shows up. We get desperate or frustrated and say, this isn't working, let's try something else. Or I've tried a lot of times, it just didn't work. But listen, these are not sports fishermen. They're commercial and they're not going to quit till they got it. They're not going to stop. So they are throwing the net, pulling it in, throwing the net, pulling it in all night long with nothing. To me, that sounds like Einstein's recipe for insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's Einstein's definition of insanity. But in fishing, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. Because in fishing, it's about the catching. Because one time you throw it out and you catch something, you've caught something. I don't know if y'all ever fished Southern Illinois much, but I did. We lived in Pope County, so we had a lot of nice lakes around. And one of them I liked to go to was Lake Glendale. If it wasn't Sugar Creek, I was picking Lake Glendale out of all of them there. Sometimes Dutchman before the dam flooded out and broke. But we would go to Lake Glendale after the swimming area had closed on the beach. If you're familiar with Lake Glendale, or if you're not, there's posts that outline the edge of the water where you don't swim past. And there's ropes across those posts with little floats on them. And then there was the shallower posts, which were halfway between those and the shore with ropes and floats on them for the kid area. Well, we knew that we had to go across that first rope to get to the inner set of posts in our rowboat to catch fish. My dad and I would fly fish out of a boat. Dad would row and I'd be at the front of the boat. He'd say, he's doing that so I can catch the fish and he can row. Kind of a nice dad. But he was also fishing, and usually he outfished me. Outfished me and rowing the boat. And I've got all this time to catch the fish without spooking them from the front of the boat. And he says, you should be catching more fish than me. You're in the front of the boat and you're getting there before me, so you should catch more. But on this particular day, it wasn't even close. He had caught so many fish and I caught just a few. And most of the ones I caught were these little guys. And he's pulling in 12, 14 inch fish and I'm going, how you doing that? And he said, just patience, son. Seems like they're biting on mine and not yours. I said, we're using the same stuff, Dad. It's got to be something wrong with me. Well, on one cast, cast it out, and it landed in a perfect spot by the post. And I said, there's got to be a fish there. And I saw this ripple in the water, and it flopped down on my bait. And I pulled in a bass about that long. And, you know, big guy. To that point in my life and since, it's the biggest fish I have ever caught. I got him into the boat. And you know what my dad said? That's a nice fish, son. I said, Dad, that's the biggest fish I've ever caught. I've hooked bigger, but I've never caught them. Did you know? I didn't care how many fish my dad caught that night after that. I didn't care if I didn't catch another one. I don't even remember the numbers that night. I remember the one. And I didn't give up because he was ahead, because I caught very little. I kept trying. When I caught the one, I talked about it and still do to this day. It's the biggest fish I ever caught. And all the frustration I had at hardly any fish before that disappeared.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
When you bring someone to Christ after trying over and over and they don't come and they do, you say it was worth it. For anybody play golf in here at all? Golf? We got a few of us who understand golf. Here's the story of golf for me. I'm not good at it. Not good at it at all. So this story really applies to me. It might to some of you all. Here's the story of golf. I hate golf. I hate golf. After every shot, I hate golf. Why am I even playing this? I'm so bad at it. I hate golf. All of a sudden, I get a hole in one. It goes perfect and lands right by the hole. And I go, I love golf. You forget about all the frustration and aggravation of how painful it is. And in that one moment, it redeems it. And usually it was one hole per 18 holes. Or one shot, excuse me, for 18 holes. And I have one thing I can look back on and go, man, that was so beautiful. I wish I knew how to do that all the time. But I don't. But that moment, you know what I mean? And the Bible talks about this clearly when it talks about labor and delivery for a woman. The struggle and the pain of the labor and just the grief and the agony. As soon as that baby's laid on her chest and she looks in its eyes, she goes, filled with love, and goes, it was worth it. There's a transformation in that moment that goes from this is aggravating, it's painful, it's not worth it, to the moment you change and see the fruit of the labor. And in that moment, all the labor was worth it. So it is for me with a golf game. So it is with a woman holding her newborn. So it is with the disciples fishing. So it is when we bring someone to Christ. So it is at that moment, whatever that thing is, it's called that transforming moment where everything's worth it that wasn't, is when God steps in. It's the same moment when communion becomes more than bread and juice. God steps in and transforms that moment. They've been fishing all night. And Jesus says, you'll find some if you throw the net on the right side. It's time to catch. And they throw it. And they do. 400 and some pounds worth of fish or more. in one net. That's a lot of fish, folks. I can't carry that. You probably wouldn't want to try. I can't even drag it. But that's what they caught. That much fish. So when Jesus says, cast it, you will find some. He said some. To some, to them, might have been 15. But to Jesus, it was more than the net should be able to hold with some. Because Jesus has an abundance out there of harvest. But we give up when we catch none. And Jesus says, oh, some is more than you can handle for me. It says in that verse, in verse 6, they cast and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude. Not some. Multitude. Jesus' some is our multitude. Where else do you know that word in Scripture? Do you remember Jesus fed the multitude? 5,000 and 4,000, and said he fed the multitude, and he fed the multitude with some fish and bread. Jesus was asking them to keep casting, for at the right time you will catch, even if you fished all night and caught none. And ready to give up and go home. But your job as a commercial fisherman is not to quit till you got something. Never quit. Are we commercial fishermen of people? Or are we just sports fishermen giving up at the first sign of rejection? When the fish aren't biting. Or the fish are not willing to listen. Jesus is standing on the shore. Watching this, on the fire he's made, he's got bread and fish for breakfast. That's the breakfast that he's cooking. You say, wait a minute, I don't generally eat fish for breakfast. When he fed the multitude, what did he feed them? Fish and bread. When he fed the disciples on the shore that day, what did he feed them? Fish and bread. That was their source and staple food. That's what that region produced in abundance. And that's what he was providing. He's providing what's already there. And he's asking them to throw the net over and bring some food in too. And they do. And all he said is cast the net. Go ahead. Do that work. I know you fished all night, you caught nothing, but keep casting the net one more time. And I'll tell you why. Because the best time to cast the net is when you've caught nothing. Because each time you catch nothing, you're closer to the something. And if you give up before the something, you won't see what God's going to do. We invest in other people when we've caught nothing. We do it because God has asked us to, and because it's our heart for the lost and broken in the world around us. And we might catch nothing and try and understand why, and we go, well, it's the wrong investment. Or maybe it's the right investment, I didn't do it right. Or it's the wrong plan. Or it's the right plan. Or it's the wrong time. Or it's the right time. But generally, it's the wrong attitude instead of the right attitude that won't catch fish. We give up on people quicker than disciples gave up on fish. Do you wonder why Jesus called those stubborn men? Because they're going to keep fishing till they catch. They're going to keep casting the net. This story has so many different parts to it. What you have in the boat is a broken Peter. He has denied Jesus three times and no reconciliation happened. Jesus, in his mind, is resurrected from the dead and he's seen him a few times, but no reconciliation. And so what does Peter do when you don't have reconciliation with God? You go back to your old life. You go back to what you did before. The mess.
that you came out of, because Jesus isn't in your life. And so many people do that, and others aren't casting the net to say, hey, it's not too late. You haven't thrown away Jesus. He's still here. He's still present. He's still redeeming. He forgives. Here's the truth. You and I are fish. Truly. We're also fishers when we've been caught. But the fact of the matter is that the net that God is casting out there that gradually sinks to the bottom, that you pull and cinch tight, has not been cinched tight yet. Because there's other fish out there to be caught. And God's asking us to drop the net where they are before we cinch it and shut them off of it. That makes sense? Cast the net. Catch nothing, cast again. You're in it for the catch, not for the fishing. Not for the sport of it, but the catching. Even if it takes all night. Would you pray with me?
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, for the promise you've made to us in Christ. Thank you for your grace and your healing and your restoration. I ask that you would remind us this morning of your mercy, your healing, and your restoration. And when we partake this morning of communion, may we remember that you dropped the net on us and you're pulling us in gradually with your life. May we also learn from you how to do the same. I pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. We're getting ready to do communion this morning. And